For too many of us, it's become safer to retreat into our own bubbles, whether in our neighborhoods or on college campuses or places of worship, or especially our social media feeds. Surrounded by people who look like us and share the same political outlook and never challenge our assumptions. And increasingly, we become so secure in our bubbles that we start accepting only information, whether it's true or not, that fits our opinions, instead of basing our opinions on the evidence that is out there. In the course of a healthy debate, we prioritize different goals and the different means of reaching them. But without some common baseline of facts, without a willingness to admit new information and concede that your opponent might be making a fair point, if you're tired of arguing with strangers on the internet, try talking with one of them in real life.
It'd be too easy to talk about nothing, to talk about nothing. Be too easy to talk like I'm something. I'm balling, I'm stunting. Be too easy chasing the fame, playing the game. It'll be too easy. But tell them we don't feel that. No, no, tell them we don't feel that.
Let's dive right into questions here. Explain the different apps, because I know I sat down with Joe privately, and he started explaining to me some of these apps. I'm like, those weren't even around a few years ago when I was dating. So explain the different apps you've used or are currently using, and why.
Okay, I guess this is Joe. I guess I'm going first. So I use primarily Tinder, Coffee Meets Bagel, and Hinge off and on.
Okay.
Less so Hinge.
And how do the different apps work?
So Tinder is the typical swipe right, swipe left. If you don't like somebody, swipe right. If you like somebody, swipe up. If you want to super like somebody, and it's solely.
Oh, well, they have super likes now.
It's right. If it's left, if it's a no, it's right. If it's a yes, and what if it's super like?
Then it's like a double yes.
Right, but
is that like a digital hell yes? Is that
yeah?
Okay,
digital
all right.
Hell
right,
yes.
How do you indicate that? You swipe right and then.
You swipe up for the super
you
like.
You swipe up for the super like, and then they get a message that says somebody super liked you, and that's pretty much how it goes.
Okay.
And so Tinder is totally location-based. Coffee Meets Bagel, I feel like, is probably mostly location-based. It doesn't seem like they have any sort of rhyme, reason, algorithm behind the matches that they give you. I think it's just random matches. And then Hinge tries to match you based on the preferences that you give. So, you know, whether you are serious about your religion or whatever it is, or whether, you know, you only prefer people of a certain height, they try to match you. But once you run out of those matches, they'll throw in people that
start throwing in the
midgets. They'll throw in people that meet some of the requirements.
They got a nose. You're good to go, yeah. Right? Okay. Gibson, what about you? What kind of apps are you using and why?
So I am on Jack, Adam for Adam, and Growler.
Hey, look, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam
and Adam.
Adam and Adam? That just okay.
It really should be called.
They
Adam
should
and Steve,
they should
right?
call it Adam and Steve. That would just troll everybody.
Also, can I
actually of those Adam for Adam is probably the oldest.
Okay.
The grandfather gay apps.
Okay.
It was first
outside of Grindr, Adam at least in terms of black gay men.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are specifically for black gay men or no?
Well, Jack is primarily black gay men,
okay.
Especially in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Growler is for bears, men of size, and those who like them.
Okay.
Because I'm a big guy. And then Adam for Adam is kind of for everybody. You know, like I said, it's the grandfather. He's like up there with Grindr. It's been around forever. Everybody uses it. But in different cities, like in urban environments, it is disproportionately black in places like Detroit and D.C. and Atlanta. So it just depends on where you're going. And it doesn't do the whole swipe left, swipe right thing that the straights do. like that isn't, it's not there. It allows you to filter. It does location basis. You know, there's a gay guy, you know, 150 feet from you kind of thing. It immediately outs people if they're on the app in a public space.
Okay.
But yeah, like it does a location and you can filter to your likes. You know, if you like a certain size or a certain race or a certain sexual position, or who's looking for friends versus somebody who's looking for no strings attached sex that moment.
There's a lot of variables in this app.
Yeah.
Well, all three of them actually, you know, have those functions. So, yeah, it just depends on.
Not available,
you know,
on eHarmony, by the way.
Yeah. None of that's on eHarmony or Match.com.
No.
I wonder if it's on Christian Mingle.
No.
you don't think favorite sexual positions not on Christian Mingle? Okay.
Am I to assume from my incredibly sparse knowledge of gay dating apps, which goes back at least 3 minutes at this point,
okay,
does Growler have no vowel in the last syllable? Because none of them seem to. Is it just like it ends with R?
Growler is Growler.
Exactly. Exactly what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Is it the same with, like, Grindr? Is it the same
right.
thing?
Jack is the same way as JACK'D.
D. Okay.
Oh. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Save the D for last.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So, Kent, you're also single.
Yeah.
And today, earlier, I said, I don't know if we have enough guests. And you're like, hey, I have my own experiences having met some people from meeting them online. So what have you used?
Admittedly, it's been a while.
Okay.
Because not great experiences.
Okay, we'll get to that later.
eHarmony, Match, and Christian Mingle.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Now, my worst experience was with Christian Mingle because, I mean, it's not a terrible experience. I don't want to, you know, if you
don't
guys,
get ahead. We can get to
get
worst
ahead.
Experiences later.
All right, fine.
Then okay.
That's fine.
All right.
Okay.
Jennifer Moore, you have... Prior to us dating, I guess you've used apps of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which ones have you used?
Really just, like, Plenty of Fish and Tinder.
Okay.
I guess Facebook.
If I was on Tinder, would you swipe right?
Of course.
Okay.
No, I guess Facebook would count, too, somewhat.
Yeah,
it's not a dating app, but...
It kind of
yeah.
is.
Yeah, it
kind of is.
That's how
yeah.
we met. That's how we met.
Yeah, so I mean, if you
didn't
count,
you go to the same college.
We did, but
at the same
we had a friend that we were in.
Well, tell that story.
We'll get to that later.
We'll
okay.
get to it.
So, interestingly enough, I am currently on Tinder. For this episode, I opened up a Tinder account, which says I am happily married. I am doing this for a particular episode. So tonight, I will close down this app. But I'm happily married. I'm trying to meet people who are willing to come on my show. Only one person said that they would do this. You, Kent, you actually met her at Trivia on Monday. So she came from Canada, and I interviewed her.
That's commitment to the project.
Well, look, if not really, it's South Detroit at this point, you know. So if you're from somewhere else in the United States and you're listening to this, yeah, it cost her $4.25 to come.
Okay.
So she came across the bridge, and we interviewed, only to find out today that didn't record the audio. So, going to go back and record again possibly tomorrow. She might come over tomorrow. Okay. We'll do the interview again tomorrow or Friday after I do another show.
Well, you know what would be nice is if she were to come back, you can get her thoughts on living in a country where they don't allow AR-15s in schools.
I could do that.
Okay.
That would be interesting. Yeah. So either way, she's going to come on. And the first time we interviewed a couple days ago, she was telling some horror stories of her dating. I want to intersperse that throughout this episode. So it's just going to – we'll be talking and we're going to get cut off and we're going to get one of her nightmare stories because they're fascinating. But let's move on to the next question.
You always catch me by surprise.
I do.
Describe a typical date for you when you're just meeting somebody.
Let's go with Gibson on this one first.
Oh, wow. So if it's an actual date and not a hookup, because these apps can be used for both.
Okay. Are you admitting to both?
Oh, yeah, I'm open to both. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Had people on last week who were the same way. All right, go on.
Yeah, single man here. So, yeah, a typical day for me is generally would be like a coffee or a cocktail happy hour somewhere. To get a feel for the person, actually have a conversation, to talk to them, to fill them out. And, you know, if it's somebody that I've talked to on the phone for a while before I meet them, because I typically do talk to them before, you know, I meet them on the phone, which is not always. Everybody doesn't actually do that. Sometimes they just text and then they'll meet somebody. I actually need to talk to them on the phone to hear how crazy they sound.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I'll do the coffee date or the happy hour. That's my typical first date.
Okay.
And then from there, we'll figure out if I actually want to break bread with them.
Okay. Joe, how about you?
I, as a straight man, I'm probably more so try to be sympathetic to what women have to go through when they date online. And so one of the anecdotes I've heard is guys are worried about whether or not a girl is actually going to look like what her profile looks like. Mm-hmm. And girls are worried about the guy being a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about, like, that sounds kind of ridiculous up on the front end, but so I typically I'll throw out there like, hey, do you want to go get coffee or dinner one time, just to like see, gauge her interest. If she's more timid, if she's worried about if I'm like a normal person, if I'm not a serial killer, then it's probably going to be a coffee date, and it may only, you know, she may only plan for like 30 minutes. But if, you know, we're talking for a while, it may end up being dinner and we hang out for several hours. But that's typically how I do it. I throw it out there and try to be conscientious on the front end, because I know that a lot of girls feel vulnerable dating online when they don't know the person. So,
okay. Jen, what about you?
Well,
prior to me, of course.
I typically wasn't looking for hookup culture, so because that wasn't my intention of dating. So I, huh?
My mic was off, but I said milieu. It wasn't your milieu.
No, exactly. Yes. So I wasn't really looking for the guy who was taking me out to audition me for a date. So I was looking more for the man who would take me on a real date.
Like a 3-hour river cruise.
Well, it didn't have to be fancy, but I've kind of and there's different. There's different writings on this, too, if you read different ones, which I did when I was single. Most dating, like, gurus, experts, coaches, whatever you want to call them, would tell you that coffee's an interview.
Yeah.
And the dinner is the date. So I kind of viewed it through that lens because I thought that makes sense. And it wasn't about how much you spent. It wasn't like, oh, okay. I would do coffee as a date after, but not first.
Okay.
Also,
drinks, same thing. I would do dancing and drinks, though.
Okay. All right.
One quick thing. I just realized that both Gibson and Jen mentioned this on the front end. I'm not really looking to hook up with somebody when I'm going on a date anyway. So that's
just kind of frames, for the ladies.
That kind of frames. That kind of frames what I do.
Well, we're going to get to that in the next question.
Well, I know. I have friends that do, but.
Yeah. So. I'm trying to think back to dating, because now dating is, again, intentional. You know, with me and you, it's like, okay, Wednesday nights, trivia, Monday nights, trivia, Thursday nights, movie nights.
You asked me on a
real
date.
I did ask you on a real date, but it wasn't any of the things that, you just mentioned. Interestingly,
it wasn't dinner. We went to a movie.
Which is, some people have a real problem with going to the movies, because it's, you're not talking. You're not getting to know the other person. You're just sitting side by side.
We had been talking nonstop by the time you asked me, though. Yeah.
And I don't think we got through that movie. We didn't get through that movie.
Well, we had been talking nonstop, and also a caveat to that is it was during a snowstorm, so everything was like shut down, and a movie like warm and like not moving around was kind of ideal.
Right. So.
So it was the condition.
So it was a real date. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I guess for me, a typical date though was very much meet at the bar for cocktails. Let's have drinks. Let's talk. Let's get to know one another. If it goes well. Cool, we'll have a second date. If not, I'm out and you're out 2 hours of time, but you got free drinks and call it a day. It was at least a good experience, and you didn't have to worry about a serial killer on this date. You had a nice gentlemanly date. And if anything, I always felt the way that I approach dating, and this isn't to like pat myself on the back, but it's going to come across that way, because I was raised a certain way, when I dated a woman, I would often hear all of their horror stories. And even if it didn't work out, I always felt like, well, at least they can walk away and know that's how a woman's supposed to be treated. So on my next date, even though I didn't hit it off with, you know, the guy I was just with, if a guy doesn't treat me the way that guy did, I'm going to kick him to the curb. So there might not have been the spark there, but they were at least treated the way that they were supposed to be. But most of that was done over dinner, drinks, cocktails, maybe go to the movies, that kind of deal. So, Kent, what about you? A typical date?
everything you guys said.
I don't know. Like, no, I mean, you're like international man of mystery when it comes to dating.
It was all over the map. There were coffee houses. There were a couple of nice restaurants.
Ever go out salsa dancing all night?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. All right.
Salsa is really fun, BT Dubs.
Yeah. That is the first time that the audience has heard it. That is now the second time today in the last 45 minutes that Joe has said to me, BT Dubs.
Okay.
A phrase I've never heard before, though I can get it from context.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before.
Really?
Joe says it often. Right. Okay. Never. It's his phrase. All right. It's his go-to.
Okay.
So when it comes to dating, what's the purpose of dating? So, I mean, you know, Gibson, you already said that you've done going on a date and you've done hookup. So let's not talk about hookup here for a moment. Let's talk about actual dating. When you were dating someone, what is the purpose of dating for you?
To fill them out, to see whether or not we have any kind of shared chemistry, vibe, shared values, shared interests. I've had people, you know, we talked about, well, I've had people that I've been on dates with that look great on paper and were amazing over the phone. And we got together and we spent, you know, went out to dinner and there was absolutely no chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like tragic because you're like, oh my God, I really was like, you're so perfect in all of the ways that
checks all the boxes, but just didn't.
You're checking all the boxes and there's nothing here. Oh, you're
so heartbreaking when that happens.
Right. You know, so that's, and then there are people who are like complete assholes and you'll be like, darn, he's sexy. I like him. Darn, this is awful. I think that's what I'm checking out. I'm not thinking in my head like, you know, marital partner. You know, I think that's I know some people who do that. For me, that feels like a recipe for a disaster. I'm thinking, is this somebody I can get to know? Is this somebody, you know, that I want to invest more time in?
Okay.
And see what might could happen.
So might could happen, though. That might could happen. Let's say it did move into relationship. So would you differentiate between dating being for the purpose of, I don't know. So when I think about dating, I'm going, okay, is dating to find a relationship? If you find that relationship, is the purpose of that relationship to move towards something, you know, mutually agreed upon? You know, for my wife and I, it's monogamy. But is it to move towards something, you know, mutual and exclusive? Or is dating simply just to feel you out, see how it goes, and that's kind of it? Because the might could be something is kind of confusing to me if it's not moving towards relationship and something solid.
Well, there are lots of different kinds of relationships.
Right, yeah. Which are right. You two have to talk that out, right?
There's a range. So the person could end up being somebody who you might just have a friends with benefits situation with versus somebody that you might want to actually take home and meet your family. So there's like a spectrum in there of engagement and investment. And so when I think something that might could happen, it could be any of that, anything that falls within that spectrum.
Okay. Joe, Jen?
I think for me, it's a lot of trying to – I hate using the cliche Christian term of dating with purpose because I feel like that's just overused. But I am at the point – I had a lot of fun in high school and the first year or so of college, and it just got to the point like just casual hookups were just awkward and didn't really have any meaning behind them beforehand. And it wasn't even the lack of meaning. It just like the night ended and we were just like, all right, yeah, that was fun. And that was the end of it. And so for me, it's always trying to, when I meet somebody, I don't go into it thinking, yes, I'm going to marry this person.
Right.
Because I think that's kind of naive, you know, but I think that when I go into relationships, when I go into dating, whether it's casually dating or whatever, the end goal is to eventually find somebody. Like you guys' end goal was monogamy. I mean, that's the eventual end goal for me, but I also know that not every date I go on is going to end in a relationship, let alone a second date. So it's kind of a feeling out phase for the first date or two. And then after that, let's go ahead and move towards a relationship where we're really figuring out if it's something we want to do long term.
Okay. Oh, yeah, my wife's pointing at me. What was the purpose of dating for me? It changed over time. I think I was the guy that considered, I mean, when I was younger, I took to heart pretty much all the religious messages about dating. You know, date, you know, again, date with purpose, that cliche. And courtship, where you're not even dating the girl, you're dating the girl's dad. He's getting to know you, and then he can check off the box if you're the good guy, and then he'll let you know, because he knows his daughter. He's raised her, right? Which is weird. I mean, but because it was in this whole Christian bubble, it didn't seem weird at the time. Till later on, you're like, man, that whole family is fucking weird. That dad wanted to date me hardcore. Like, that's weird.
Well, it also didn't work, really, because of the racism you ran into. Yeah. A lot of the
dads. There was that as well. And we could talk about that a little bit later on in this podcast as well. But
we talked about that at Frankenmuth. You going to share that? Oh, you've shared that story.
It's changed over time. I think there was the whole trying to date strictly religiously, meaning strictly along religious with religious mores in line. Then kind of morphed and changed out of that, moved into downtown Detroit, moved into a studio apartment. Apparently, having your own place, your own car, paying your own bills is like catnip to women who are used to talking to guys on Tinder and Plenty of Fish and OkCupid and Coffee Meets Bagel, who all live in their mom's basement, who don't have anything going for them. So having the lowest common denominator of stuff seemed to work out in my favor, which was a little weird. So it moved into a series of hookups that I didn't want to be hookups. I didn't initially go into them hoping they'd be hookups. If they ended up in sex, I did. But I was always looking for something that was long term. So I guess, in a way, even if it ended in, you know, it was a great date, ended in sex and turned into nothing else, going into it, my purpose for dating was always, I hope I am finding someone that I can be with long term. That is always the way I looked at it. It didn't always end up that way. It finally ended up that way, thankfully. But my purpose for dating was definitely, I had the long game in mind. Jen?
I also grew up in that mind set of what I had been taught in a Christian church and school and home. And so I was always taught that the purpose of dating was essentially a prolonged interview for marriage. And so that was always my mindset. What I saw happen was a lot of men, at least when I was especially younger, weren't looking for that. They were looking for somebody they could hang out with for now or a hookup. And if you're presenting yourself as someone who's not looking for that, that can be really frustrating as a woman because you end up frustrated a lot of the time because the person that has such, you know, all of the checks, all the boxes, so to speak, maybe isn't on the same page as you or isn't looking for the same thing yet. That could be, I guess, good or bad, depending on where you stand on that. But so I was always looking for the long term, and I think at a certain point, I kind of stopped trying to figure it all out and just kind of, you know what, I'm going to just enjoy my life now where it is, and I'm going to hopefully meet a nice guy or whatever that I like and just enjoy my time and have fun. I wasn't looking to lower my standards, so to speak, but I was looking to maybe not have all the answers, you know, right in the beginning. And so I honestly think that's probably where I was when I did finally date you. And I think if I hadn't been there, to be honest, because of your past experience from your divorce, you probably would have ran if I was like, I need to know where this is.
Yeah.
So, hey, it still got me there, I guess, just in a different roundabout way.
Okay.
When it comes,
I think.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean,
going to, this is Gibson. Going to what Jen said, though, I think that that's kind of, you know, where you arrived. So I'm 43, and I've been dating since I was a teenager. And so after a while, kind of like dating with purpose and dating your intention and all of that, you know, I never found that person or the relationships that I did have never came from me dating with that kind of intentionality. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Of the long-term committed relationship. I would end up in a lot of what I used to call 49-cent trial size relationships when I dated that way. That lasted about as long as the infatuation lasted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I stopped trying to make something happen, that was when I would end up in relationships. That was when I would end up meeting the person. And so I think that what happens for me at this point is this, you know, one, I'm not pressed. I've had long-term relationships. I've had short-term relationships. I've had, you know, the range. And so for me at this point in my life, it's like, it would be great, but I'm not pressed one way or the other. I'm just going to enjoy the ride and whatever happens.
If I may, I feel like that's why people say like it always happens when you're not looking for it. But I feel like that's like the fallacy that we're told when we're younger. Mm-hmm. Out of a good intention, like our parents, our mentors, they don't want us to just, you know, fall for the wrong person, waste our, whatever. But I feel like I wish somebody told me that when I was younger, before I had to deal with the frustration of figuring that out, of just, you know, it's not that you lower your standards, but you just enjoy where you're at and, you know, don't go into it with so much pressure that it can't evolve into exactly what it is meant to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think, had you been taught different lessons, do you think it would have saved you any heartache at all? Or, because the way I see it is like, okay, you can be taught all the right lessons about intentionality. You can be taught all sorts of different lessons about, you know, just hook up or whatever. And I think people who were taught that and people who weren't taught that, they all go through the same relational frustration.
No, I do think it would have changed some of, you know, the relationships I had prior to you. And I also think that it would have left me in a healthier emotional and mental state when those things didn't work out, because I wouldn't have had this, you know, this idea that maybe they were taught that too, because they were in the same culture as I was. As a young person, you assume that they are brought up with that same mentality. And so I do think it would have changed things if I was taught something that was more realistic.
Okay. So let's move on.
When it comes to dating, what are you looking for in a dating partner?
Joe?
I knew it was going to go to me.
Okay, we can go Gibson. I don't care.
It was either me or Gibson, because you two lovebirds are sitting over there.
Well, I mean, the question's still going to go to both of us. But,
yeah, I still got what I was looking for.
Kent's going to get this question too. So
he didn't answer the last one.
He didn't. Oh, wait. Yeah, Kent. Let's go back.
What's that?
What purpose does dating serve for you?
When was
the last date you went on?
I have emotionally actually moved on to the next question. I'm composing. I want to get my answer absolutely right, so I'm composing it.
Oh, that's so great.
So let's just skip it. Okay. All your answers were great.
Okay, fine. So, Joe, question four. When it comes to dating, what are you looking for?
So for me, and it's something – so I'm relatively – I've recently started going to church, becoming a Christian within the last – I'm 22 now, so 3 years.
Okay.
And so the longer I've stayed in the church, the more that has had an impact on me. And it isn't so – there's a lot of theological arguments behind it. But the main reason is because I'm at church 3 nights a week. And so when you're dating somebody, especially when you get into a long-term relationship, like if you're going to be somewhere 3 nights a week, that person needs to be – somewhat cool with the fact that you're at this place or at this thing 3 nights a week. And so I think faith is an important part to me. I also can't deal with negativity. I've never been able to deal with negativity. I actively distance myself from people that are negative, because I never went through that phase. You know, people go through this phase in high school or whatever it is when they stop believing that they can be president or stop believing that they can do whatever it is that they want to do. And I never went through
that. Joe, I think
that.
It's quite clear that anyone could be president. Never.
Fair enough.
Your parents used to tell you that. I never believed it until about a year and a half
ago. Give
but
up.
Fair enough. But I never went through
No,
that
you still
phase.
Shouldn't believe it, Jen. You still shouldn't believe it.
Oh, I could do better than him, I'm sure.
You could, stupid. But I'm just saying.
But I never went through that phase where like I just lost confidence in myself and what I could do. So I can't really deal with negativity. I think those are I can deal with a lot of stuff if you got little idiosyncrasies or quirks or whatever it is, I can deal with that. But when it comes to dating, I think those are the only two hard and fast rules I follow. I can't really deal with people taller than me, but that's just like a totally shallow thing.
No, that's not shallow. There's some girls who can't deal with guys who are short. So it just is the way that it
me.
Is. Yep. She needs to look up at me and she needs me to reach up on high shelves to get
there,
all the shit that should be on those shelves.
There's an actual utilitarian purpose for this. See? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Gibson, what about you?
Shared values, shared interests. I've done the opposite attracts thing to death. And I find that, you know, it doesn't work as well for me.
Mm-hmm. My mom always said opposites attract, but only for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. Those different values and those lack of shared interests really does. They really do rear their ugly head. I mean, it's fine if somebody has a passion that's different than yours. That's great, actually. You know, you get to learn and be exposed to something that you're not otherwise wouldn't avail yourself to. But when, you know, you have to have some things. So I think that's, you know, especially my on again, off again last relationship of 7 years taught me that shared values and shared interests are critical. You know, on the shallow side, you know, I do like height. You know, my last boyfriend was 6'4", I'm 6'2". But I've dated.
So you were the little spoon? You were the little spoon.
Yeah, I do like height. I'm also, you know, at 6'2", you know, unfortunately, if you've ever been to a black gay bar or a gay bar, you know, what you generally find is
Turns out we have every Monday for the last few months.
Exactly, right? Like, there's like this huge number of people who are under 5'10". It's like, so at 6'2", you feel like you walk into the land of Lilliputton. so you have to be flexible, right? Like, and, you know, it's kind of a cliche in the gay community, but, you know, masculinity is something that I am attracted to. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So who hasn't answered this? Jen, have you answered this question? Why are you pointing at me?
You can go first. You're already talking.
All right, Kent, your turn.
Okay. what I'm looking for. I did compose a little bit of a list.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I think it's very. I think it's
my matchmaking brain is sure. Gonna turn on right now.
Okay. All right. Great.
Notice how it turns on for Kent and not for me.
Sure.
We tried. So it's, tried. You, we're okay. Getting there.
We've tried for both of you.
So no younger than 23. I'm not a monster.
Okay.
But not a day past 28. TikTok, you know?
Okay.
Long corn silk blonde hair, Sinatra blue eyes, cute button nose, few freckles, dazzlingly perfect smile, but definitely a master's degree at the minimum. It's about the mind, right?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So,
that's very particular.
I feel like that was just comedic. That's not at all what he's looking for.
I feel
for.
Like we do have all of that in some friend that we know, except for there's one thing that didn't work for him.
Kent will be like, and when we introduce Kent to that person, he will be like, degree. I was I'm totally sorry. Kidding. I was kidding
right, exactly.
On that. You know I was kidding, right? So, for real, what are you looking for?
That would be unfortunate. I wish I hadn't spent so much time on the comedy now. you know, what am I looking for? It has been it's been a couple of years since I actively looked.
Okay.
So it's hard to say. Definitely the shared values. You know, I went on – let me scan the upcoming questions real quick and say that I went on some dates with Christian Mingle. And I should have been more prepared for the results.
Okay.
In that we on two different occasions, I started talking to young women who seemed wonderful in our chats. And then we get to coffee. coffeeing. And, you know, we talk about and she just says, so what do you think? What do you think of Sarah Palin? I think she's fantastic. And I knew it was over at that at that point. But and, you know, so I was polite. Right. I was polite. And that was that because, OK, literally the very next woman said this was 2012 when okay. this happened. And she said, so it's, you know, obviously it's an election year. I haven't decided who I'm voting for, but I'm very intrigued by Michelle Bachmann. And I was like, what? Is this really happening?
Is there a camera? Am I being punked?
so shared values is a big deal. And I will be, I admit my values, have not, no, my, yes, my values have morphed in such a way that most of the women I have access to on a regular basis don't share them at this point.
Yeah,
so
I figure that. Jen.
You are just determined to go last.
I'm the host. I do what I want. I do what I want.
I'm just teasing. Okay, so what am I looking – what was I looking for, I guess, is a better way for me to phrase that. Oh, nice. Okay, for those
about
of you who can't
four,
see, my husband
skinny,
is trying to, like, flex and stuff.
Wears glasses, has multiple master's degrees.
I wasn't necessarily looking for who my husband ended up being. I was looking for certain qualities.
Because I looked at the exact opposite of the guy that she was interested in.
Prior. But anyhow, so I've always looked for men with height. That's kind of just been across the board. I've always looked, and that was really not me being shallow. Like, all the men I grew up with were super tall. So it was just, like, used to it. So when it didn't.
Disclaimer, Jen is 4'9". So
no, I'm 5'1".
Okay.
I'm 5'1", a little bit better.
Tall. You don't,
no, all literally okay. All of the men I grew up with were either the shortest, I believe, was 5'10", and the tallest was like 6'2". So I was super used to just taller men. My father was only 5'8", but my brothers were both tall. My grandpa was tall. So it was just kind of the most common thing. Anyhow, I digress to say it was what I was used to, so it felt strange when it wasn't there. And now it works because he can reach the tall stuff. but anyways, it was something I preferred. I did like curly hair often.
Check.
And I loved a man with good, with nice eyes and a great smile. You have both of those, babe. But one of the things that I always
clearly
looked
you
for,
can have it all.
What I always looked for is I did look for core values that were very similar, if not the same. Mm-hmm. Or at least had the potential to kind of work out the kinks in between us.
At any point, did you ever say, I'm not necessarily holding out for Denzel Washington, but much better looking than Flava Flav?
No, I actually wasn't looking for an African-American man, per se.
Thank you for stealing my line.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I hadn't dated an African-American prior to Cal. I was really looking for a type of man more than a color of skin. He just happened to be Calvin. But anyways, I was looking for intelligence. I'm extremely attracted to a man who could be articulate. I know that's wrong because you're black. I'm not supposed to say articulate.
what's
the word I'm supposed to say again?
You're not supposed to say. Yeah, you're sapiophile. You're not supposed to say well spoken. He's so well spoken.
Okay, well spoken. I didn't say that word. Right. So okay. Right. I was very attracted I'm a very like sapiosexual. So I love a
back
man
up.
With
what? Sapiosexual. Attracted to intelligence first.
Okay.
Yeah. So right. I was very attracted to a person's mind and their personality. Above their appearance. Now, I was into appearance. I believed that I needed both, personally, because okay. I didn't want to have a real attractive man that, I mean, a mind that I didn't want to kiss. I mean, I felt like both had to be there, but okay. Yeah.
So, I'll answer the question. When I was dating, looking for a dating partner, and I think all of us share this idea, is shared values. I think when it came to hookups, I liked being with people who did not share my values because it would just lead to hate fucking. Like, I hate you. So the sex would just be aggressive with someone that I mean, I'm thinking of someone very specifically in my mind right now who we were exact opposites in all of our beliefs. And it led to crazy sex because we just hated each other. But when it comes to like long-term relationship though, I don't want to have that headache. I don't want to. I mean, it comes down to like what Kent was saying. Hey, you know what? You went on a date and she's like, "Hey, what do you think about Sarah Palin?" It's like, and I knew it was over. Ah, Michelle Bachmann. I'm leaning towards her. Okay, it's not going to work out because I don't think I could be in a household where I hold to more democratic ideals and be married to someone who holds to Republican ideals. Whenever I hear of someone who's in like a mixed marriage of whether it's religious background or whether it's political background, I don't know how that works. I couldn't do it. More power to you if you can, but I couldn't do it. And so for me, shared values is very, very, very high on the list. Obviously, a certain look. I like a girl who's a little bit curvier than others. Maybe it's a black person thing. It's a cliched black thing, and I've had to get over that because I would date a woman who was curvier, a little heavier set, and because it is a racial stereotype, I would often be in some sort of relationship with someone who fit exactly what I wanted, but because I was afraid of reinforcing a stereotype, I would hide that relationship from people.
And so you're saying that you could lie?
I'm saying that I could lie?
I'm
not getting it. I said I'm not going to lie, and then
No, there's a song.
I don't know.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Okay. Yes, and I cannot lie. Yes,
cannot lie. Okay,
I could totally lie.
Thank
yes,
you.
Sorry.
Okay, you can lie.
I thought you were going with Shakira there. I'm not.
But I had to grow up. I had to grow beyond that and say I don't know who the fuck these people are who are judging me and who have the stereotypes about me or whatever. I like what I like.
Very honest about that too when we got together.
Yeah, and so. Obviously, I also like someone who's college educated. It's a deal breaker for me to be with someone who's not college educated. I married someone who was not college educated. Now, at the time, I also was not, but I was also smarter than her, and it still shows to this day. And so,
where's the ouch button?
Where's it? What
important? important to note that. Hold on. edit this out.
There you go.
All right.
I'm not editing it out. You
okay. Important to note for first time listeners, Calvin's been married twice.
Yes.
He was not just referring to his
wife. I was
wife
not referring to my current marriage.
Sitting a right. foot and a half
yes.
away.
No.
But I'm smarter than her.
My first marriage, neither of us were college educated, and I valued education at the time she did it. She's now college educated. More power to her. She's great. You know, great mother to my daughter. But. The fact of the matter is I need to be with someone who is college educated because once I had my degree and then I was downtown and I was dating, I would meet women who weren't and we just couldn't have a conversation on the same level.
I feel like you hit a limit on where you could take things.
And so that's really hard for me, especially with my intellectual pursuits, right? I'm working on my fourth college degree at this point. So there's a disconnect there. Physical type. Education, shared values, religious faith, that all is something that I'm looking for in a dating partner.
I don't think I said my faith, but that was a value. Okay. So.
So we are now at the hour mark. Let's take a break. We'll take a break for 10 minutes, and we'll be back. Well, hey, everybody, thanks so much for waiting on the line. Real quick, before we jump back into questions, want to read you some five facts about online dating from the Pew Research Center. One, online dating has lost much of its stigma, and a majority of Americans now say online dating is a good way to meet people. Two, online dating has jumped among adults under age 25, as well as those in their late 50s and early 60s. So grandma and grandpa, so we just found out about apps for gay people. Well, at least Kent did. So apparently I got to look and see if there is some apps for old people.
There are. I've seen commercials.
This is gross. Anyway, three. one-third
it's
of...
It's like companion.com
sorry, if Misha is listening to this episode, I'm sorry, because I know she works with the elderly, and we're going to do some episodes about aging in America. But anyway, number three, one-third of people who have used online dating have never actually gone on a date with someone they met on the sites. Found that interesting.
Wow.
Five, 1 in 5 online daters have asked someone else to help them with their profile. True story. I have done that. I have helped people with their profile. I'm really good at my writing my own. You know. Anyway, I was. Number five. 5% of Americans who are in a marriage or committed relationship say they met their significant other online. To give you some perspective, there are 323.1 million people that live in the United States. That means, I did this on Google. I don't just know this off the top of my head. I have Google Home. I asked it earlier. So 5% of that is roughly 16 million people. So roughly 16 million Americans who are in a marriage or committed relationship say they met their significant other online.
Oh, okay, let's keep in mind, not that it matters, it's very academic, that 323.1 million people is – there's roughly 75 million children. So if it's 5% of the people who've met their spouse, it's – I mean it's less than 16.
I don't want to parse it all. There's okay, still 16 saying, million people
sure.
who have met each other online. Sure, we're counting kids.
Well, if it's 16 million people, then it's more than 5%.
Well, I did 16 – I did 5% of – 323.1 million.
Can you read the stat again?
The stat is.
Oh my god!
5% of Americans. Oh wait, no. 5%. Oh, I did it wrong. 5% of Americans who are in a marriage or committed relationship.
Okay.
There is a caveat. So maybe it's not 16 million people, but anyway,
that's a lot.
But still, the vast majority of people meet people the old-fashioned way, face to face, in a bar, at work, that kind of thing. So let's move to our next question, though. When it comes to a profile you've set up, do you feel like you've represented yourself truthfully, or have you purposefully misrepresented yourself?
I'll start. Yes, absolutely truthfully.
Okay.
You want to elaborate?
Truthfully. I mean, I am. It's been a while.
But and yet, you still end up on a date with the girl who likes Palin and Bachman,
Michelle Bachman.
I'm sure somewhere in there, like, if you like Palin or Bachman, just swipe left.
There is a toggle switch there somewhere that I have flipped the wrong way, I guess.
All right.
I don't know. But, yeah, I was honest. I got a lot of responses who said, "How fun! Boy, are you funny. I loved your profile. It was so smart and so witty."
Okay, right now, while we're doing this, I want Joe, I want you to bring up your Tinder profile, and Gibson, I want you to bring up whatever gay ass bear share thing you got going on. No, just kidding. One of your profiles, you said you use four, right? Four different ones?
Like three.
Okay, so one of them. Bring them up real quick, because I want you guys to read these. I want to see what they're like. Because again,
I'm reading my app.
Come on, man. Read what? Come on. You want people to see them? Just
sexual things on mine.
I don't care. Well, this is not a this is not a family friendly show, so I don't care.
We'll bleep it out.
Yeah, bleep it out. Yeah, I'm not gonna bleep it out. Joe's saying that. So when it comes to the profile you set up, do you feel you've represented yourself truthfully? So I want you both to read them, and then I'm going to determine whether you've represented yourself truthfully.
This is going to be
fun.
This is going to be comedic effect because I set this up for comedic effect. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. All right.
So I've got a cross emoji as the first thing.
Okay. So you can do emojis now. That's different. Yes. They couldn't do that.
I've got the cross emoji as the first thing on my Tinder profile.
So Jesus. Okay.
It's like a low key reference to God at the beginning without
love
like,
Jesus, hate Satan. Let's date. Okay. Yep. Got it. Okay.
All right. Next thing, fasten your seat belts. Make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in the upright and locked positions because you have just found the best profile on Tinder.
Swipe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Left.
It's a sunglasses emoji right after that.
Okay.
The next part is I'm just a Southerner at heart. I'm actually a Southerner.
See that?
But I'm just a Southerner at heart.
Nobody does not know that.
Transplanted to the Midwest, roll tide and go Tigers. And I have an elephant and tiger emoji after that.
Okay.
That's the Memphis Tigers, not LSU.
Oh.
I am 5'9 on a good day, which is any day that someone who is actually 5'9 is not standing next to me. I've got the monkey emoji of see no evil right after that.
Okay.
Then I'm great in the kitchen. I just don't have a working oven. So I have to be creative. I have a chef emoji. So swipe right on this limited time offer.
A lot of emojis.
Yes, a lot of emojis.
My wife and I just watched the Emoji Movie, and I'm like, do people really communicate this way? And apparently, people in their 20s communicate this way.
Yes, emojis are able to capture complex thought and communicate.
It also takes the edge off because, like, you say something and then you set a smile and it's like you can't help but be like, oh.
Well, part okay. of it, part of it yeah. too. To,
hold on, catch Joseph.
I was just going to say, and this isn't so much about the date, but about emoji, I've got, I would say my youngest friend, okay, the youngest person that I communicate with as a peer on a relatively regular basis is my sister-in-law's sister, who's 27. She's – and 27, I mean, she's a college graduate. She has had a professional job for 6 years at this point, right? She, when we text, texts in emoji all the time. She's the only person that I know that texts in emoji all the time. And it's my number one complaint. It's so small. I can't see what's going on in those pictures.
Because you're over 40. So,
My
you can change your font size.
You can? Okay.
I think
is
so.
Everybody else, is there? Are their text windows bigger? I got to. Okay.
I'm just going to go on a limb right here and just say we've done an episode about online dating before. This is head and shoulders above the last time we did an episode about this.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Good.
Anyway. In my defense, so you guys know when you're texting somebody or messaging somebody, when there are comments that you're trying to be funny and can be construed one of two ways. One of them is the funny way, and one of them is like an insult. Emojis help communicate your message. So if I send a laughing emoji after a comment that could be taken as offensive or it could be taken as a joke, you're going to know that I'm joking.
Thoughts and prayers to all the people in Florida.
Right.
Laughing emoji. That would be really bad, right?
Yeah, the crying, laughing emoji.
Yeah,
like, don't do that.
Hashtag, don't do that. Okay.
Hashtag update 16 fatalities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. So Gibson. Gibson, wait, did we finish it? Did we finish
it? That was the end of my profile.
That was a whole of your profile. Okay, all right. Let me see your phone. Okay, so Gibson, read the safest shit you can read right now.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm not reading all of that. So, humorous art nerd who loves all things story, from film and literature to great music and live theater. I'm a big, tall dude who enjoys those who like big, tall dudes. Enjoy masculine dudes who are funny, smart, ambitious, compassionate, and open-minded. I only desire grown men. I am, because there's a lot of teenagers that be on these apps. I'm also not likely to fuck you off the strength of one conversation, not the quick jump off type.
Is that true, though? Is that true?
That is true.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because, I mean, sometimes on these apps, people will literally hit you up with a sexual comment.
I just want you to know right now that my wife is texting me dirty emojis right now. Super dirty emojis. It's Valentine's Day. Just run with it.
It just worked with the conversation. I just exploited it.
Continue, Gibson. My wife is being super wrong right now. She's being rude.
There's nothing wrong with like a little eggplant and peach emoji. Work it out.
There is a eggplant. There's nuts.
Lips. I wasn't being rude. It was to you. It didn't interrupt him. You're interrupting
There's
him.
There's one that I'll leave off because of the racial connotations of it. But anyway.
What the? You're making me sound so bad right now.
I love my wife. Anyhow.
That sucks to you again.
No. I'll tell you later. Anyhow. Continue reading your profile.
I mean, the other stuff is like categories of film you like, music you like, movies you like. Sexual positions you like,
okay.
You know, so the rest of it is pretty routine stuff. But that was the whole introduction of myself.
So, I mean,
what I'm looking for.
And do you feel like even before there was online dating, there's this idea that everybody is on their best behavior for the first few weeks, first few months of dating, right? And then you start to see the chinks in the armor, the idiosyncrasies that are like, oh, okay, that kind of bothers me. So do you feel that an online profile presents yourself without the idiosyncrasies, or do you let people know that on the front end? That's what I mean by this question of, is it truthfully?
I don't like to be catfished, and I don't want to catfish anybody else.
Okay.
So I try to present as accurate a picture of what I am and what I'm looking for as possible, so as not to waste anybody's time. Now, the one thing about being 43 is that your time being wasted is way more annoying than it was at 23.
Right. Not too many shopping days till Christmas when you're 43, right?
But I will say that I think one of the things that's, you know, probably different for the straight guys on the line versus the women and gay men on the line is that guys will hit you up all the time with, like, you know, what are you doing? Do you want to fuck? like fairly upfront, you know, like, and WYD is probably the most frequently.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Okay.
What you doing?
You up?
Which I feel like you're not like, communicating
you're
that
not
correctly.
You can come over so we can have sex, you know.
I mean okay, so in. Pardon me, and this might be too personal. You can say I won't answer this. I mean, as a straight man, I've gotten those texts from women, but only women that I've been talking to, not someone who texts me off of an online dating app. You know, when I was using them, and so when that comes through for you, do you respond to that and actually go do that or no? Because I know a lot of straight men. I know a lot of straight men who do at this point do that.
At this point in my life, no.
Okay.
I mean, in my 20s. I probably was much more amenable to that kind of thing because I was horny and young.
Okay.
But at this age, I'm aware of the danger. You know, people have been murdered. You know, there have been a rash of gay men who are murdered from meeting people on apps that they didn't know. And so you have to be careful. You know, I think that there's sometimes when I look back on my younger days and what I was willing to do and the risks I was willing to take, I just, you know, clutch the pearls. I can't believe that I would be, you know, put myself in danger so often.
That's interesting that you're.
Point, I just is irresponsible.
It's interesting that you're saying that because one of the things that Joe said on one of our earlier questions was, you know, hey, you know, women, you know, guys are worried about, you know, is she going to look like a profile picture, and women are worried about, am I going to be murdered? But then in the gay community, there is the very real threat of.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to be robbed and or are you going to be murdered?
Okay. Absolutely. All right. So that is.
I know people who've been robbed. I know people who've been murdered from off of the app.
Okay. So that's not just part and parcel to being a woman. Not take anything away from the risk that women take in online dating, of course. But that's also a big risk within the gay community as well, you would say?
Absolutely. Though recently, I think that it may become an emerging issue for straight men. There was a 23-year-old last month who was murdered. He went to a girl's house. He met her, I think, through Tinder or something like that. Black guy. And when he got there, he thought he was just going to meet her. There were a bunch of guys. They jumped him. They murdered him. They robbed him. They stole his car. He did a whole bunch of other stuff. So, what you'll find is that eventually, as predators realize more and more that there are all of these victims out there that they can get money off of or, you know, whatever, then, everybody should be on guard.
Okay. All right. So, let's move forward. Has everybody answered on this one? I think we have, right? Jen, have you answered?
No,
I don't know.
No,
okay. All right.
I don't think you have. Or
I don't have to. So.
Oh, okay. Neither of you guys.
All right.
Okay.
I don't have a profile
just,
now. I mean, obviously
I
my profile
just
last
Joe
week was.
Joe and Gibson that answered.
No, I answered. I said my profile
said yes,
is exquisitely and perfectly honest.
I would say that my profile represented me truthfully. However, I...
Because I didn't meet you on a profile.
Right, but I would say, just like even Facebook, like you don't present the downside, right? I think you just... you always present... I mean, you're trying to attract somebody, so you're presenting your best self, for lack of a better term. You spread your feathers like that peacock, right? Like you're showing off a little bit. So I would say that that's everybody, though. I feel like if you go on those apps, you should expect that. So, yeah.
Okay.
So occasionally there will be a time when a date with a perfect stranger doesn't go well. maybe we could talk about some of those times. Anybody got a story? I got a story.
I heard you did.
If you have a story, first. You go first on this one.
Everybody lived through this date, I will say that. But, I mean, my most notable story is maybe 3 years ago.
Now, I knew you at that point. I've heard nothing about this date until just now.
No,
so continue.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, it's funny. You know, so I met a girl who we had a ton of chemistry. And, you know, we talked online and did email. And
wow.
I know. We talked online. We used the chat feature. It was through Match. The chat feature and email for a while. And then it was obvious the time has come to meet up.
Was this that you got mail time or actually 3 years ago?
I'm sorry?
3 years ago.
Okay. Oh, 3 years
Stop
ago.
Stop it,
yeah.
Jen.
And I didn't even get
Go
that.
On.
Okay.
He would have done that joke.
Stop it. Go on.
Okay. And we met. And she looked vaguely like her photo.
Catfish.
It was her best day ever. Okay, let's put it that way. That's fine. That's totally fine.
You didn't do one of these. Hey, nope.
No.
That goes back to my comment earlier, though. Guys are worried about if girls are going to look like their profile picture.
So we got because we had spent so much time talking. We skipped coffee and went right to dinner at a fairly nice restaurant.
Oh, I was thinking we skipped coffee and went straight to the breakup.
No. Well, and we went straight to a fairly nice dinner at a place in Ferndale. I'm sure
it's probably a gay bar.
I'm sure Gibson has passed it. I thought the meal was going pretty well. It was a little tentative, as you know, working out the kinks of a first meeting. And so during our phone calls and during our email, she had, you know, I had of course asked, so where do you work? And she says, I work in clerical in the federal building downtown. It's like, oh, down federal building downtown Detroit. And it's like, oh, okay. And and I said, so what do you do? And she said, paperwork. It's like, all right. It seemed like she was being kind of cagey.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, whatever. At some point in the meal, she said, so I feel I have to come clean about something. It's like, okay, great. I do work in the federal building downtown. I am an employee of the FBI. I'm not supposed to tell anybody. I could lose my job for telling you. But I guess it's a division where it's somewhat secret. I don't know. And I am going for agent training. So I will be moving in 6 weeks to Quantico, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Where I was born.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. To Quantico, Virginia for at least a year and a half. And I thought, so why are we here? I feel like that's information that could have come up weeks ago.
I'm moving in 6 weeks. Don't even have to tell me what to do.
Right.
None of that. Okay.
I'm not going to live here. I was like, okay. Dessert, please. I mean, that's kind of how I felt.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Joe Gibson?
I was telling Kent a little bit, and Gibson might have heard a little bit if he was listening to the mics. So I am, for those of you who don't know, I'm 22 years old. I've been graduated from college for almost 2 years. Will be 2 years in August, a year and a half.
There is a Taylor Swift song about that very age.
And I have been – so I'm in a lot different place in my life than I was, say, 4 years ago. But my age range is very much, you know, a college student who's still, you know, dating people that are in college and whatnot. And so when I was 21, I was my age range was like 18 to 25 on Tinder. And I started talking to this girl, and she was 18, and we were talking, and it sounded, we'd been talking for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. And I decided, all right, you know, let's go on a date. It's my first Tinder date. And a little bit before the date, I found out this girl is still in high school. She's 18, but she has not graduated high school yet.
Okay. All right.
And so even though she's 18 and I'm 21, that's 3 years difference, because she hasn't graduated high school and I've already graduated college. We're in a lot different places in life. And so we went on this date, and you know, it went all right, I suppose. We went to this hibachi restaurant in Auburn Hills, I think. And we were just sitting there talking, and it was just like this high school drama, like so-and-so said so-and-so was ugly, or like I just had to, you know, I bought 3 prom dresses to make sure they fit, and I'm going to take 2 of them back and whatnot, and just like talking about stuff. And to me, I understand that to a high school girl, like this is intense stuff. Like I lived this 4 years ago. I understand, but I'm in a lot different place in life. And so like, you know, I paid for dinner, and I was like, all right, we're gonna do this. I've already invited you out. But right thereafter, we unmatched on Tinder, like, immediately. Like,
wow. Okay.
it just was not, it was not what I was expecting going in.
So the important part of that story I felt like got skipped over. Was she cute?
Oh, God. She was cute. She was a little taller than me. That was the other thing.
Okay.
Because she said she was 5'9". I told y'all on my Tinder profile, I'm 5'9 on a good day, right, which is when somebody who is actually 5'9 is not standing
five,
next to me.
5'7 and a half.
I'm okay. Probably closer to 5'8, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Somewhere around there.
So, Gibson?
A date that didn't go well. Oh, God. So, look, it's a lot. I'll pick one that was. So, because y'all were talking about age ranges and stuff. And one of the things that's interesting when you're a gay man in your early 40s is that you get hit on a lot by guys in their 20s. A lot, like disproportionately, which is, you know, flattering, but also suspect, right? Like, what are you looking for? Because I'm not a sugar daddy kind of thing. Though many of them aren't looking for sugar daddies. They just like older guys is what they, how they put it. So whenever I get a chance to meet a peer or somebody who's older, I try to, take that opportunity to go on a date with them. So there was a guy who claimed that he was in his early 50s. He sent me pictures of him that were clearly 10 years younger than what he was when I met him. And so I get there and I'm already irritated because I feel like I got catfished a little bit because the pictures were him, but they were earlier him. And that's not who was sitting in front of me. But I'm like, okay, I'm trying to date a peer or somebody who is at least closer to me in age range. And at the time, I think I might've been like 40, maybe 41. And he was saying that he had just turned 50. So there's still an age gap, but I'm like, okay, what does it matter at this point in our lives? But he spent most of the day complaining about everything. Mm. He complained that we were in a Thai restaurant. He complained about the service. He complained about the length of time it took to get the food. He complained, which were like all kind of standard. And, then he like talked about all of his bad experiences and what he wasn't looking for and what he wouldn't tolerate. And all of this on the first date. And, after a while, at first I was asking questions, and then after a while I stopped asking questions. It was like, I'm talk. And then finally he was like, well, why are you so quiet? And I was like, you realize on this date we've been here for like almost an hour, you've not asked me one question. And all I heard you do was complain because we got you. So I felt like you have.
Why are you so quiet? Because I don't like you.
And he was like, it was a little sad because he was like, well, it's been a long time since I've been on a date. I really don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. And I tried to be sympathetic. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe it'll be different. Maybe there's a chemistry. So, we did the good night kiss after dinner, and it was like kissing my granddad, and I was like, yeah, absolutely not. I can't do this.
To me, it seems like an excellent indicator that a date is going poorly is if it features the phrase, why are you so if it features, I don't know what to say, I'm sorry. All I can say is I'm sorry.
What about you, Jen?
Okay, so my worst date of record is I was on a date one time. We were at dinner, and long story short, unscrewed something from his necklace, passed it to me. I'm holding it, and then he told me it was his dead mother's ashes. At which point, I was like, "What? Why am I holding this?" And so I was ready to leave.
Oh,
since we're not on video, for you guys that are listening, there is a very perplexed look on mine, Calvin, and Kent's face. We don't really quite know how to react to this.
So it was very like, why did you hand this to me? I mean, for those...
Because you're next.
Well, for those of you who have, that listen and that maybe have one of those necklaces or, one of those items... That's totally fine, but why are you passing mom around the table to the girl you just met? I just don't understand. So it was very, very awkward, very strange, and I just couldn't get it to end quick enough. And there was not another date.
Okay. Horror story for me was, interestingly enough, not a horror story. It ended really well. Like, there was a girl, I call her Boston, right? She's Boston. And I love that accent. I don't know why. Most people say they hate that accent. I love it.
It reminded you of this just the other day.
And so we met at this bar in downtown Detroit, which happened to be in the lower level of the building I lived in, which was great because I had my nice studio apartment. And if things worked out well, I was like, hey, by the way, I live here. Like, well, would you like to come upstairs for a nightcap? So I could do that. But there was a safe space of this bar. So we met in this bar called Kraftwerk. And then so everything went well. Great conversation for a couple hours, laughing. And then went upstairs. One thing led to another. And we had sex. The thing was, we had unprotected sex. And this is not something that I suggest that people do, but it's what we did. And so I was just, I mean, everything was great. And finished, and I was like, man, that was amazing. I cannot believe, I mean, the connection was great. I cannot believe that we had unprotected sex, though. I mean, this is crazy. It's wild, right? And she flips out. So apparently she's in her mind about freaking out. Like, in her mind, she's going, this was so stupid. You don't even know this guy. Why did you do this? This was so dumb. I didn't know that. And so it goes from being really cool and I'm just, like, excited about it to her having a complete and utter freak out on me, getting dressed, storming out, slamming the door shut, and then texting me the next day and cussing me out for being a horrible person. It was like, I thought everything went really well. Everything went really well. And apparently, it didn't go really well. So this is the only time I've had a job. I mean, like, everything went great. And then it didn't because of some offhanded comment. But I'm kind of glad because I went back and looked at her profile. And I showed it, like, to some other guy friends of mine. They were like, oh, yeah, she's got crazy eyes. She's got crazy eyes. You should have known that, Cal. Like, okay. All right. So let's move on, though. Let's move on.
There was a joke.
Don't. Case in point, don't have an unprotected
sex. Yeah, do not have unprotected sex.
There was a joke that I was going to make, and I have decided not to make it. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with a family who deserves a lot of mockery. But I'm not going to pile on.
Okay, so when you've met a person, when you've matched, you swipe right, you messaged, whatever it works, whatever way it works on whatever app you're on. When you met a person, do you feel like you're meeting someone you truly matched with, or is it still very random chance? Or are you asking the question, how the hell did the algorithm get it so wrong? Gibson, we'll go with you first.
Random chance. Yeah.
You think it's random chance still?
Yeah, I still think it's random chance. I don't trust that. And you know, you can't, energy isn't something that you can determine through likes and dislikes. Chemistry isn't that, you know, these are intangibles, pheromones that only happen when you're in a person's presence, you know? So, yeah.
Okay. Joe?
I think it's random chance. Granted, the apps I'm on don't even try to proffer an algorithm. I remember reading articles about different websites just saying, like, yeah, like, certain websites say they have an algorithm. We just really, it's totally random. Like, most of the ones that I'm on are location-based anyway. There's a somewhat of a filtering function, but that's entirely dependent on the people filling out their profiles truthfully. Which, as we had a question before about, that seems to be the case with the people here, but that isn't necessarily the case with people around the country and around the globe.
Yeah, so. Statistically, let's see, 53%, over half of people lie on their online dating profile. Now, this is, of course, according to eHarmony, but they've done some studies.
Calvin comes to the show prepared.
I'm literally stats on eHarmony's website.
Oh, okay.
So that's it.
I was just going to say that I think – do you remember, I think it was OkCupid or maybe it was Plenty of Fish. They used to have these different quizzes you could take. And it was like, so-and-so matched 50%. I'm like, 50% of a 10-question quiz? Like, that's a big difference. Not only that, but sometimes you're like, this is a random quiz. I want none of these answers. So.
I would probably match 50% with Buffalo Bill from Silent
Hill. Right, right.
That's an F on
any. I still feel like they're
campus
random. But I do think, this is where I do think the old-fashioned way is in is
most people still eat that way.
I feel like it's quantifiably better because there is what lacks in online dating is, again, I'm very much into personality and also the sapiosexual, and that doesn't always translate. I might be like, okay, you're cute enough, you know, but if I don't know you, you could be a dud or a stud in person based on your personality and your intellect. So in person, again, like Gibson said, there's that chemistry aspect that you just can't put in an app or an algorithm or whatever. And I still think they're random.
Okay. Kent, thoughts?
Nope.
Okay.
No, you and I met by chance.
We did meet by chance.
It can't be chance when you went to the same small college and had mutual friends. That's not random chance, right?
Well, no, I mean, it's not totally chance, but we went to the same college. There was a girl who connected us. We were in totally different friend circles, though.
I didn't know him.
And then she graduated. We had a couple classes together. Don't even remember her.
Okay.
She graduated, and that same girl, we were both friends with her on Facebook. This friend said something. She agreed with what the friend said. I agree with it. And I was like, oh, this girl's kind of cute. And then I connected with her. And so that's.
I waited 6 months to accept his friend request.
So in that sense, it was random.
And then he messaged me and said, hey, so somehow it says we're friends because it had been so long that he forgot that he sent me a friend request.
Whatever.
And so then I had to like confess.
And now we're married.
That,
so that's,
you know,
that's all there is to it.
Yeah. So it was kind of random.
Okay. So
long story short, check out the comments on your friend's post.
Yeah.
Friend request.
Yeah.
Wait 6 months and then act
like
you don't know what's going on.
I've been the guy
on.
Who's looked at friend, like when people have responded, even to this day, I mean, not looking for dates, but when someone, if I'm on someone's, you know, let's say there's a debate going on somebody's Facebook page and someone agrees with what I say, like people start liking what I say, I start looking at their profiles. I mean, it's just natural. And so I looked at hers and ended up turning into something, you know, that I didn't expect. Marriage. So here we are. So what did I ask the last question or did you?
You did.
I did. Okay. So it's Ken's turn. It's Ken's turn.
I'm going with 9.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. We're running out of time.
That's fine.
So, removed from the real world, do you think the internet, where we can present ourselves in any way we see fit, is the ideal place to find love? Why or why not?
And I just want to say that Kent refuses to read questions the way I've actually written them. Yep. He throws his own spin on them. He puts some spit and shine on them. He will not. He literally just changed.
Radio background, baby.
Where the prepositions were,
okay,
I guess.
So to answer this, I think I kind of just.
That question answers itself.
But this is what I think. I think in the real world, in real relationships, you deal with ups and downs, and it's not always the social app image that you put out there. And I think that there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes in a good relationship. And so I think what it does is it sets you up with this pretense of everything polished and pretty rather than the real world and the real life that happens, that gives a different depth to a relationship that makes it so rich and beautiful. And like the work and the even the bad times that go into like our relationship are what makes it.
Let
so
me
great.
Say, I'd like to update my list to include rich and beautiful.
Okay. All right.
But it takes away from that is all.
Okay.
When you're presenting as just what you want the world to see, there's no depth.
Okay. Gibson?
I think it's difficult. I think so the internet and the apps have been a gift and a curse to the gay community. I'm old enough to remember before all of that was part of it, and I came out in 91 and when I was 16, and you had to go to clubs and bars and public spaces that were, you know, gay friendly venues in order to meet guys. And the apps changed all that. And in some ways for the worse, like I think that we were a closer community before that. There were a lot of people you would have never bothered with. You wouldn't have wasted your time with if you had spent like 5 minutes observing them in a public space or
right.
a bar or club that you found yourself forced to be on this date with because they have presented themselves a certain way online. So I think there's something to be said for the physical and being in each other's company. Unfortunately, because of the apps and because so many people have run to them or flocked to them, you know, gay bars and gay clubs around the nation have been shuttering. You know, LGBT community centers around the nation have been struggling and floundering because people don't need them anymore. They can just go online.
Sometimes.
And it's cheaper.
Sometimes gay bars are so anonymous that straight guys can walk into them for weeks on end and not realize that they're even different. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, they don't have, they're not as popular as they were when I was coming up and came out. And so now it's almost like your the default. If you want to date, if you want to meet other gay men, then you almost have to do the apps. I mean, unless you're doing like community events or community service, that kind of thing. Maybe if you go to a gay church, I don't know. But if you're not in those kind of spaces, you're not doing that kind of community-minded work. The apps are almost all you got. You know, outside of the occasional prontos.
I do think
the chicken fingers are fantastic.
And their nachos are unbelievable.
Okay, man. I was just going to say, I do think society, with the progression of things, has kind of forced people's hands. Like, if they want to date, a lot of times people have to go to the apps. And it does open up, it does limit the things we just talked about, the natural interaction, but it does open up options for people who maybe can't date in their workplace, or they don't have the opportunity to meet a lot of people, maybe because of their work or their friend circle. So that's the pro. The negative is, I think it kind of makes us a little lazy. Like, you can just put up what you want people to see, and you don't have to, like, go out to the club and look all cute. You could be, like, in your PJs watching Netflix.
What are you wearing? Oh, my naughtiest negligee.
Yeah, you see the photo that you took, like, a few months ago. You're like, that's cute.
Exactly. No, it's true. But, I mean, but again, to your pro, Jen, I think that there's, you know, before the internet, before the apps, a lot of gay men and other LGBTQ people felt isolated. And, you know, there are groups now that they can belong to online. There's, like, on Facebook, there's special groups just for them. And you can find community. This is different. And you can find, you know, if you're an older guy, I mean, the clubs now, I mean, Generation X, I'm Gen X. So, like, when you go to the club, now it's dominated by children. Like, literally, you see them as children.
Not literal children.
Important to... Like, the principal of the sock hop.
Okay.
You feel like the principal at a sock hop.
Yeah, like, you really, you're like, oh, wow, I'm chaperoning this high school dance. So, you know, you have to, you know, so I think for older gay men, you know, the apps have also provided a way to still connect and meet. You know, this, they can't go to a club where the music is trap music and, you know, everybody's under 30. So.
Okay. So you're saying they're not playing Madonna and anymore?
No, they're not doing Soulful House as they were back in the day when I was out.
That's so sad.
Not doing classic hip hop. You know what
this
is now?
This used to be your playground.
Hip hop was trendy at the time.
Just say this used to be your playground for Madonna. Okay, fine. So we've done episodes where we've talked about just, you know, the introduction of technology into our lives and how, you know, we need to look at it in terms of pros and cons. And I like what Jen did there. And Gibson, obviously, I'm liking what you're saying in response to that as well. But yeah, I do wonder, I wonder if one of the things that it does well is it helps people who are introverted. Again, I'm 51% extroverted and 49% introverted. In terms of, working a hard job, you know, working a 9-to-5 job, working retail, those kinds of things that I was doing when I was on online dating, I got home. I didn't want to have to go to a bar to meet people. It's like, I've been with people all day. Here is a novel about my personality. Let's see if we fit. Cool. I haven't wasted a lot of time. Now we can meet at a bar. It can be very intentional. But there are people who just aren't really good at those first initial interactions, and I feel like the online space might give introverts a chance at love that they otherwise might not take, or might be written off at, you know, on a first date, seeing how they act at the gay bar or the straight bar. Oh my God, you know, oh, look at that weirdo over there. Like, hey, yeah, you might be a weirdo at home, but connecting with someone, feeling like you've connected with someone, and then meeting them and then feeling like we already have a connection, I think allows people to get past maybe blocks that they might have had otherwise, just seeing them.
I think that's a great pro. Like for a lot of people.
I think just from my experience and that I know how a date is going to go. I know how an interaction is going to go. I know if there's any possible future at talking to this person long term within the first 10 messages.
Okay.
And I think it's you can tell a lot based on the beginning of an interaction and how interested that person is in responding and how they respond. I think you can – there's just a lot that is there that you can read into and figure out how that situation is going to go down. And so yeah, I don't necessarily see it as that much different than meeting in a bar as much as it's just – a different place you meet instead of meeting at a bar, you met at a coffee shop or you met at school or you met at
the internet is naturally whatever. Where people are meeting nowadays.
Yeah. So it's not so much that it's a different way of meeting. It's just it's a different place.
Okay. So let's ask this last question. Cause we got 5 minutes and we got to get out of here, unfortunately. So some of you on this podcast, with the exception of my wife and I, some of you are still single, obviously, which means online dating at this point hasn't quite worked out over the long haul. Gibson, you're in your 40s. Joe, you're in your 20s. So you have a lot longer time for this to work out for you, Joe, than I think Gibson does, right? You know, and we've admitted that at the front of the show. I mean, do you plan to keep at it? And if so, why?
Yeah, I plan to keep at it. I mean, it's not the only way that I meet people. You know, I think some of it is also, I've also taken some of my social life in my hands, and I host a monthly potluck now. And,
what? You know, I'm what? Doing haven't come to our potluck at all, but cool. You got your own. That's cool.
Yes, that's cool. I knew that was coming. You know, so there's, you know, different ways in which I meet people. Yeah, I'll be a little bit more likely to volunteer for the LGBT community center. So yeah, I think that, but I still, you know, apps are going to still be in the mix. You know, like I said, the bars and the clubs at this point in my life is not going to be a fixture. I'm not going to be partying my Friday and Saturday nights away. So, so yeah, I'm still going to try it. I'm still going to be at it until they improve or figure out some other thing for us all to run to as the next thing.
Now, I think Joe would be crazy to give up on internet dating because, I mean, I'm looking at the calendar and the girls who meet your profile they're done with homecoming now. So, so I mean,
I moved that. I moved that age limit to 19.
They've got time.
After that
okay.
One date.
All right.
Okay.
No, but I think
that's so crazy. 19. My daughter is 15. Like, it's 4 years away from what you'll date. That's nuts to me. That's just insane.
That's what happens when I'm 22. And
okay, all right. That's fair.
But so, I think for me, I agree with Kent, but for a different reason. I think it would be foolish for me to give up on online dating. And I think the reason is genetic researchers and not genetic research, but generational researchers out of Dallas, Texas.
Important distinction.
I listened to a TED Talk a few months ago, talking about that one of the defining generations of the next generation after mine is technology. And so –
defining characteristics, you mean?
Yeah, defining characteristics. Okay. Of the generation after mine is technology. You know, I'm at the tail end of the millennial generation and the next generation, Generation Z, iGen, whatever you call them, is defined by and characterized by their access and dependence on technology. And so I think the longer that I'm in the dating scene and more people from the next generation are entering this dating scene and dating pool that I'm trying to draw from, I think that it's foolish for me to back away from the primary medium that a lot of people are going to start moving towards. And so, you know, I think I've only been online dating for a year now, a year and a half. Like after a year and a half, that's not – you don't give up on something after a year and a half because you've only had 4 dates and whatever.
Can I just put out there that people are beginning to flock to? I'm like, oh, I thought that already happened. But you're right. It's interesting verbiage because I wouldn't have thought of it in that light. But, you know, you're right. It's even more so going to be the case.
Well, millennials and Gen Xers, I mean, they grew up going to bars and they grew up, you know, meeting people on college campuses and whatever. And the next generation, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've swiped left on somebody on Tinder because their profile says they're 20 and it says in their bio that they're 17. Like, I can't tell you how many times I immediately swipe left on that because it's not what I'm looking for. There are teenagers that are getting into online dating at 17, 16 years old that this is what they know. They don't know the experience of going to a bar and trying to meet somebody. Their experience is Tinder. Their experience is Coffee Meets Bagel. Their experience is Bumble. And so, you know, as the generation after me gets older and starts to mature, like it's just going to rapidly increase the amount of people using dating apps.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you to all of our panelists that have been here today. And happy Valentine's Day for those of you who are listening, because we are recording on Valentine's Day. And thanks so much for listening to Leading Questions with Calvin Moore. Make sure you check out our website, leadingquestionsnow.com, where you can find all of our episodes from this season and the last two seasons, bios, a calendar of upcoming topics, and even suggest topics for us to talk about. If you're interested in bringing our program out to your college, university, or organization, email us at hello@leadingquestionsnow.com and we'll get back to you. Don't forget you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and the Podcast Detroit app. Please leave us a review. That's very important. And tune in next week where Kent and I will conclude our series titled Laws of Attraction. We've invited on several people to answer the question, what does it mean to have an open marriage bed?